It's like a falcon's wings flying, man.
Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, a major character was supposed to die in Rebels. New details coming in from Star Wars Land and Celebration News, and we got t-shirts! We got t-shirts! Let it float there for a second. Hey guys, I'm Riley Blanton, your host for the Star Wars Report podcast. You've tuned in to episode 272. Let's do it. This is the part of the podcast where Riley really hopes that Bruce's house is very soundproof, because that's where we're recording. And his family is definitely asleep. Hey, let's get on with the show. Like I said, I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this week's podcast. We got a lot to talk about, but we'll get straight into the program right now. Let's bring him in. I'm going to change up the order this time. I'm just feeling frisky, right? Let's bring in our producer and podcast household host, Mr. Bruce Gibson. I feel like... Cheers.
Cheers.
From a distance across
Cheers.
The couch.
Let me pick up my...
Hang on.
Here we go. In stereo.
In stereo.
That was clicking of whiskey sours.
Have you ever had one before, Bruce?
I don't think I have. If I have, I don't remember. And there may have been a reason why I don't remember.
You've had a few. No. Well, you know what? It's an interesting drink. It's an unusual and just adventurous flavors. All words I would use to describe our co-host, Mr. Mark Herleman. How's it going?
Well played. It's going good. Mm. It's going a lot better today, my friend. Going
I
better.
Know you had some scary medical stuff this week. I was glad you were able to make it tonight, man.
Yeah, definitely. I had a quick little emergency rush in and have a quick little surgery done and had some things taken care of. But it was like my wife's out of town. I'm texting her going, the doctor Uh-oh. Wants me to come right back. Like, they want to see me now. It's Uh-oh. Like, wait, what? I'm like,
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm going in. Like, they want to get this taken care of.
And fortunately, it seemed to have turned out okay. At least you're here present with us, which
yes.
me and the vast listening audience do thank you, sir.
Yeah, but he's so dedicated because he said
he
even
is.
if he was in a hospital bed, he would still record with
you
us.
You did say that, Mark. Which makes,
as is true. I was like, I'll be on my back. I ain't going anywhere.
Here's the here's the problem, Mark. You know I would take you up. I'm just bad enough a friend that I would be like, oh, that'd be cool for the podcast. Live from the Grants Pass emergency room, it's Mark Herleman. Hey, guys.
Who needs to be awake for an epidectomy? We just got started. We'll just podcast right through it.
What'd you think of the twin sons? I don't know. I feel like I have twin headaches. All right.
Anybody have a link where I can watch it? No.
Exactly. Hey, guys. You know, we've talked about adventurous, both in terms of our co-host, in terms of our beverages, but we're doing something else adventurous. That's T-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you're like, what's adventurous about a t-shirt? How about our brand new classically designed classic edition?
It's definitely no rush design.
I get that.
See it? Get it? Designed by Matt Rushing. Hey, it's the Star Wars Report t-shirt. If you guys have seen any of our posts recently on social media. Terrible. If you've seen any of our posts recently, we've been showing off this incredible design based off of the classic original trilogy poster, A New Hope poster, in fact. It looks great. It's amazing. And I was like, we can't not do a t-shirt in time for celebration. And then I was like, well, if we're going to order shirts for staff and people, like, you guys need one because it's awesome. So here's the deal. You know, sometimes people get Shopify or some fancy... web page of epicness that everything's perfectly shot and wonderfully done. We didn't, because there's one thing you've come to expect from the Star Wars Report, and that is, of course, professional mediocrity. We're the best at not being the best of almost being the best. So that's how we're doing our t-shirts.
Yeah. I'm Rogue 2, not Rogue 1.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the deal. If you just go to starwarsreport.com/shirts. You can go right there. I've literally just set up a Google form, and we're working with a local print shop. So just put in your information, and I will personally email you and get your info, and I will then personally mail you a t-shirt. Because that's the level of professionalism this operation is. It's Riley going to a local print shop and just saying, hey, we need this many. And we've already had a bunch of orders. I'm really excited. So the more orders, the more affordable the next round will be. You're like, wait, what, the next round? Yeah, we have some cool plans in store for the Star Wars Report and more shirts. But if you're going to Celebration, you have, if you're listening to this podcast, you have 24 hours. If you're listening to this podcast, 24 hours, StarWarsReport.com/shirts, StarWarsReport.com/shirts.
Wait, what if they listen to this podcast in May?
Oh, well, then it's too late.
They still have 24 hours.
Too late, Center. Too late. We can't do ongoing orders because we can't because we couldn't afford to if we didn't have a larger batch. So we're doing, literally, it's $22, and I'm just not charging any shipping. So email us. And we've had a few people from the UK. Just email me, Riley@StarWarsReport.com. I'll get you a shirt. It's that easy. It's not a fancy operation. It's literally just emailing me, and we make it happen. Let's see.
That's what we did for Celebration Anaheim, only I was too cheap to pay shipping. I was like, if you're coming, meet me there. I'll hand them out.
And I'm wearing
one of those right now. Yeah.
I know.
Bruce,
I'm wearing my Beyond the Film shirt from that time.
It's great. I'm so mad. There's literally both of the prototype shirts are sitting in the back of my car. Why am I not wearing one of these, Bruce?
Because no one can see you except me.
True. It's an audio podcast. But yeah. All right. So let's get straight into the podcast itself. We've got a lot to talk about. Top of mind for me is something that I'm going to actually push off to Boba's Bounty. Because, you know, some people visit Lucasfilm. At least I can visit Nathan P. Butler. So, you know what? It is a fraction of the awesomeness. I mean, I'm not going to say it's as good. It's stiff competition because Nathan's awesome, and he showed me this incredible PSVR setup. But I won't get into that. We'll save that for Boba's Bounty. For now, let's jump into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
Let's talk Rogue One box office. I won. All right, moving on. Gary Whitta, future movies. All right, so I don't have the numbers with me because I saved the post-it note of our predictions, but of course I had the most conservative one for opening weekend, and I guessed the least amount, which was, I believe, 150. Yeah. But here's what I'm going to do. Bruce, entertain the people. I'm going to Google.
We're going to get to the Google machine.
He's going to Google. I think I said 177 because 77
that's
in
right.
honor of 1977 when the first Star Wars movie came out. Mark, do you remember what you predicted?
Not a clue. If it deals with numbers, I would just be guessing again. Like, that'd be the new game. It's like, guess your guess.
You were even higher, though. You were 200 and something.
I want to say I wanted to throw it high, and I felt like even going high, I felt like I was, like, putting myself out there to be like a laughing stock because I really thought it was going to push numbers.
I was, so
that's kind of where I was at.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was within 5 million. I put in, I remember it now. So I guess 160. You were 177. Mark, you were 200. The opening box office weekend of Rogue One was 155. So I was within, even I guessed high, but merely by 5 million.
Because wasn't my original was 140, and you said something like, oh, that low, or something
to
that
effect. Oh, see, now you're going to try to take credit for it, aren't you?
I'm serious. Now you're, and then I was like, wait, I'm changing it to 177.
Yeah, I am.
Still, you were closer than I would have been.
I mean,
have we predicted episode 8 yet?
I mean, I feel like, no, we got to wait till first trailer, right?
Okay.
I feel like that should be on the first trailer, because that's what we did with the first trailer for The Force Awakens.
Should we do from here, should we do like a dry prediction, then a trailer prediction? Like, see if we're like...
we're really complicating this. I could see that. That'd be I love doing box office pools. It's like fantasy football for box office. There's a game that the Night Attack podcast does every year. They call it the summer movie draft, and they literally have a limited that you got like 100 virtual units of currency. That's all you can spend on the movie, and you bid on them, and so you just pick movies, and then once you bid it up, what you think that value is. So, like, if you're going for Guardians of the Galaxy, you might put half your money on it. Or you might try to put together a lot of what you think aren't going to be, might be, like, solid almost hits. I feel like we need to do some version of this for Star Wars.
Well, we don't have the Star Wars bracket this season like we've had past years.
Oh, wait, the Star Wars, like the character bracket?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, same kind of idea, but yeah. Just with box
the March
office
Madness.
Instead of.
Yeah.
That was a thing. I never played along with it.
Me either.
I know so many podcasts did play along with it, but like I don't really watch sports anyway. I'm not really a sports guy. I don't know. I kind of do.
And I kind of feel that as well. Cause
yeah. I don't know. It's
how do you think Duke will do this season? I'm sorry, go.
Let's go back to Penn State.
Speaking of drafts, though, I mean, what about the future of the Star Wars films and what type of characters will they be drafting?
Bruce.
They'll be drafting on paper.
What's on tap for the new Star Wars films? All right.
The next Star Wars film is called The Last Jedi, but that's only because it's episode 8.
Yeah.
So it has to pick up where episode 7 comes. But what about future films?
That's a good question.
Past episode 8, 9 in the saga films. I mean, at some
maybe,
point. What?
Maybe Gary Whitten knows more.
I bet he does.
Oh.
Let's ask him.
Well, let's ask him. Gary Whitta. No, I'm not going to do Gary Whitta character. If there's one thing that we've learned from last week's two podcast episodes, let's save the character bits for like the very end of the Thursday show, because that's where it needs to park and stay. I'm surprised we have not gotten any hate emails from that, though. We've gotten a ton of emails on all kinds of stuff.
I'm still planning to send you my hate email.
You're still working on it?
Drafting it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, another thing. Just a big shout-out to FeedSpot. They actually did a top 30 Star Wars blogs, and they featured the Star Wars Report. That was really cool of them.
I put that in the show notes.
Oh, you did?
You want to talk about it now? Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I was just looking at my email inbox.
See, the best Star Wars blogs from thousands of top Star Wars blogs in their index using search and social metrics.
Oh, yeah.
The data will be refreshed once a week, too, so it's an ongoing thing.
Uh-oh.
They give a digital badge or ribbon of honor.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. And they went with the ranked based on the following criteria, which was Google reputation, Google search rankings, influence and popularity on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media sites, quality and consistency of posts, and FeedSpot's own editorial team and expert review. And we came in, like you said, 21st out of 30. It's pretty cool.
La-ti-da. Look at us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you know what the new motto of this podcast is?
We got a ribbon.
This is no longer the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Star Wars Report podcast, the 21st best podcast about Star Wars in the world. That's right. Mic drop. He said, just tapping his mic.
Well, technically, it's more the website and the blog than the podcast.
All right.
So the podcast isn't ranked.
Yeah, the podcast.
We're part of the success.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Star Wars Report podcast, the head flagship show of website that is ranked 21st. This is not very catchy, is it? It's not rolling off the tongue quite the way it should.
Maybe we're the 21st Airborne Division.
All right, that took me a second. Hey, here's a new piece. Here's a new feature on Gary Whitta. Actually, he was chatting it up. There's a piece on comingsoon.net that was talking to him, and he said,
"I blame the whiskey sours because I tried to push this topic about 4 minutes ago."
Oh, yeah, I know. No, we're slow. I'm sorry. We're a little slow. You had a great transition, too. Bravo. I was just slow on it. Quote, future movies will not keep relying on legacy characters. Now, anyone who just saw Rogue One doesn't believe that. There's no way. No way. Are you... All right, so
you don't think so? Because I think Rogue One's a perfect example of them shifting away. I mean, he even says with Rogue One, you get 90% of the way there.
I mean, do we, though? Here's the deal with legacy characters. Everyone assumes when you say legacy characters, we're speaking like the fandom language. We're like, oh, we're talking Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher. We're talking the big three, Luke, Leia, Han, Chewbacca. These are the legacy characters. My definition is broader than that, because I think that when you say legacy characters, you mean characters that we're familiar with from Star Wars. So when freaking Ponda Baba is showing up front screen in your spinoff film, like, you can't resist it. And, like, so that was my big critique of Rogue One. Listen, it's just necessary. If you want, it's fun. It doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It's just something fun to add. I think you can get over-reliant onto it. But when that's your biggest complaint about a movie, as it is mine with Rogue One, it's not a big deal. Like, I love it. But when we're talking about these future films, you know this Han Solo film's going to be, like, the absolute, like, reference galore. It's literally going to be I know Bruce is just shaking his head over here.
No, please.
He's like, please no. You know it is Bruce, though. We've talked about this on the show. It's going to be like, I'm going to race the Kessel Run. You remember the Kessel Run?
Well, see, Gary keeps talking, like, he talks about, even with the Han Solo film, that there's another familiar character. He goes, but I think you're increasingly going to see one of the things that we really want to do at Lucasfilm is create a universe and not keep relying on old legacy characters. We've got Rey, Finn, Kylo Ren. They've already been introduced to a new generation of characters. Whatever kind of Star Wars film they're making 10 to 20 years from now, I don't think they're going to be relying on the same legacy story elements as we have in the past. I mean, it does seem like they're very aware of the fact that they're going to be telling these films for a very long time. I mean, 20 years? 20 years of a film every year, possibly two a year if we're testing that out with moving episode, what was it, 9 getting moved up? Or is it the Han Solo film? No, it's 9, right? 9 got moved up to May?
Han Solo.
I still think they're testing the water for two movies in that year, because I don't see them going longer than
two
a year
movies
between.
It is 100% two movies a year. Like, listen.
Well, it makes sense. Marvel's doing it. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Marvel is doing it in a market where Fox is putting out, like, two a year, and Sony's putting out a Spider-Man movie, and then DC's putting out two a year. And in a market where you're getting 6, 7, 8 superhero movies a year, there are still hundreds of thousands of millions of people who go to the theater to see these things. So you know there's a market for 2 or 3 or 4 Star Wars films a year. I mean, that sounds crazy to say out loud, but if they can make money, they will do it. I mean, I think 2 a year is the reasonable one, because I think they want to be more diversified with two movies a year and maybe a TV show on, like, a network or HBO or maybe Netflix. Please, Netflix. Please, Netflix. and then maybe like a Disney show on the side.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing seems really strange to me to hear you guys talk like this.
Yeah.
Because I just remember the years of 3 years waiting for a movie and another 3 years and then 16 years. And
yeah.
I mean, to talk about getting 2 or 3 in a year is crazy to me. And Mark, like you were saying, 20 years from now, I can't imagine getting Star Wars every year for the next 20 years. I mean, it's going to have to get away from the legacy characters.
Yeah.
Well, it has to. And what worries me as a Legends fan, you know, they talked about how convoluted that got within 25 years of itself. And now, I mean, you know, Riley and me, that's one of been the biggest differences is Riley really likes the films and the visual side. And for the first time in 25 years, the visual side is going to rival what Legends did in 25 years. You're going to have almost that many movies. I mean, granted, not that many in the 25 years. You had what, about 367 books, but still, I mean, it's going to be unprecedented, the amount that you're going to have. And I mean, that's what boggles my mind is, what will this universe be like then? I mean, think about Tolkien's universe, and that was just one man working diligently. And now we've got the story group working. We've got all of the powers of Lucasfilm behind everything with the financial aid of Disney. Oh, man. This is a glorious time. And you're right, Bruce. It is insane to think about it. I mean, a couple more of these stories that we're going to get to. I mean, it boggles my mind that within 2 more years, I'm going to go to a galaxy far, far away myself more than I have at Star Tours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. It's interesting when you put it in that perspective. Yeah, it's not weird to me at this. Well, it's still weird to me a little bit. Bruce is so perplexed by this drink.
There's weird stuff floating in it.
Yeah, those are small molecules of, like, protein remnants, yeah.
There's, like, raw egg in this thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you guys.
Good
all right.
stuff.
I feel protein! Like, I feel like Rocky. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I totally lost my train of thought. All right.
Well, all good things can come to an end.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. True.
Mm-hmm. But some things come to an end earlier than others.
Some things come to an end over and over and over again, like Darth Maul. How was that for a transition? Mark, I do. I'm doing you proud.
Yes.
Darth Maul was supposed to die at the end of season two of Rebels. There's this new interview with Dave Filoni.
Dave.
With
Dave.
Jermaine Lucier. One of those was right. All right. Interview with IO9, and he talks about the infamous now greatest episode of Star Wars television ever, setting the bar so high that Riley's supreme disappointment in season three of Rebels has been long chronicled on this podcast.
That was great.
I will never let it go. But that incredible confrontation between Ahsoka and Maul was supposed to be Maul v. Vader into Maul.
Yeah. He said originally Maul perished in the season two finale where he returned. It was a one-off appearance. That's what I find interesting, though.
You can't kill the guy.
That still came out under Lucas, right? That was still all under Lucas's ship, that return and everything. So, I mean, it's like
for Clone Wars, yeah.
If Vader being taken out. Well, no, I mean, this episode of Rebels, was this?
Rebels.
This isn't under.
By Rebels, it was no. GL's like, they didn't use the Michael Arndt script. I'm out.
So, well, I mean, it makes me wonder if, because he talks about it originally, that was the idea of wondering if that was one of those touches, the treatments that Lucas had.
I don't think treatments, but I'm sure that played out from a conversation Dave had with George at some point.
Where he's like, oh, I plan at some point I'm going to have Vader kill Maul. You know, Vader. I was thinking about it in that angle of like, man, I wonder if, you know, now that they're not, at least I'm assuming that that's not the way they're going to go.
Bruce,
I haven't seen tonight's episode of Rebels. As far as I know, Vader doesn't show up, dice him.
No, I haven't seen it either. One person has already seen it.
I wonder who that is.
Hey, as our producer, we got to let him off the hook. He's got to, you know, he's got to. He's like the king's taster. He wants to make sure, you know, we won't die when we digest the information. So he's going to digest it first. Yeah, it's safe, guys.
All right,
I'll say two things about the Twin Sons episode.
Be honest, is it good?
It's good.
Okay,
and you get lots of Ezra.
Somewhere Bethany is just yelling. Bethany is not happy about this.
You do get a lot of Ezra in it, I will say that. But it is a good episode.
I remember a couple weeks ago having a conversation with the inimitable Steve Glosson. They read together. And he was like, Riley, I know what they're going to do. This is the worst accent ever.
I feel like Steele's here right now.
I know. Sure you do. He's like, they're going to take Ezra. They're going to take him to Tatooine. It's going to be awful. Tatooine's sacred. No one should go there except Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan. It's going to be... I have the worst Australian accent. I can just say Tryla. That's the only Australian accent. That's like my reset word. But no, he did not like the idea of Ezra making the journey to Tatooine. So I'm interested because I kind of sympathize with his sentiment, but I'm going to keep an open mind because...
If you don't like the idea, you won't like that in this.
There are a lot of people that are not happy with Ezra showing up.
Bruce, I just suffered through six very mediocre episodes with one good one. So five mediocre, one good. And I've been like sitting here for the past 5 weeks saying, it's going to be Maul versus Kenobi. It's going to be the best thing ever. And now, well, you're lowering my expectations. Maybe this is a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, what worries me, though, is, okay, so if originally Maul was going to perish, and this was in the era of story group, that's like, okay, so they've got no outline here for a lot of these characters then, or they do, and some characters are a little more flexible. Like, who pitched that? Like, hey, guys, instead of killing Maul, let's, like, drag him out, and we could do this, that, and the other thing, and have him tie in with Kanan and become this foil for Kanan and have him be a mentor for Ezra. And like, I like where they went with that, but it does kind of worry me because I'm somebody that wants to have a story group having, like, an outline of, like, this is the direction we're going. We've introduced Kanan and Ezra. We know what we want to do with them. We have Ahsoka disappearing on this planet. We know what we want to do with her. Like, I don't want to find out that, hey, we should kill off Ahsoka. You know what? No, instead of killing off Ahsoka, maybe we should have her walking off into the temple and then never talk about her again.
They'd never do that.
I mean, if that came up as just like a crazy idea, I'm like banking my head off my desk. But if they had a plan for Ahsoka and this is just like to tease us for a later reveal of her coming back or something, I'm okay. But this makes me start to worry more about what's going on. Like, I am a fan of an exit strategy. You know, I mean, I've always been a fan of the New Jedi Order, but that's where one series really, really failed, man, was getting itself out of the predicament it was in. And this show has put itself in a couple predicaments. I mean, you've got Kanan and Ezra, these Jedi out there.
Here, listen.
And it's like, are they supposed to be there eventually? Everybody thinks they're supposed to die, and yet I think more and more they're going to live.
So here's the best version of this episode. Riley's going to put his... I'm going to do that thing I hate, and I'm going to put my writer's hat on. And I'm going to write the best version of Twin Suns. Is everybody ready? I'm going to be that pretentious guy.
And remember, right? He hasn't seen Twin Suns.
I have not seen Twin Suns yet.
But he has had a whiskey sour.
Fair enough. All right. So Ezra is called to Tatooine because of the shared vision with Maul. Incredible moment. He's showing up. And however, Kenobi has been communing with Qui-Gon and has used the Force to hone his skills and powers to shield both physically as a warrior, but also as a master Jedi, shield Luke from detection from the greater empire. And so as Maul gets so close, he gets to the very same planet as Kenobi, but he can't find him because Qui-Gon has taught Obi-Wan the Force powers to be able to fulfill his destiny, which is protect Luke, right? Mythological. This is some Joseph Campbell crap.
So Maul can't find Kenobi. Or is he looking for Luke?
I'm even gonna grant you Ezra. You know how Ezra could play great? Ezra shows up, and in his willful blindness, he also seeks Kenobi.
Kenobi? And do you uses remember that
the
name?
and uses the holocron, right, to be able to detect, uses dark powers because he's desperate to fulfill his destiny. And grow as a Jedi. So he's going after Kenobi as well. So at this point, he is who gives the ticket to Maul. He's the one who reveals Kenobi's location to Maul, starting the ensuing fight, and in the process, sacrificing himself, breaking himself, and then ultimately being dramatically killed off by Darth Maul, destroying Kanan's legacy, spinning him into a dark turn, not knowing where to go, not knowing the purpose of life, turning him into a General Rom Koda. That, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Lucasfilm, just, I'm here. Just hire me.
All I've got to say is Qui-Gon Jinn shows up, they better be using him as a walkie-talkie between Ben and Yoda.
Well, Master Yoda told me to tell you, you need to keep a better eye on Luke. He had a vision of Luke falling down a cliff and breaking his leg.
Obi-Wan,
and
you need
he's
to
pretty
over.
Mad at you.
Over. You need, Obi-Wan, you need to say over. That's my Qui-Gon. you need to say over. I don't understand. Master Yoda, over. All right, I'll stop. I'm just spitballing.
Saying much of anything.
I know Bruce is just keeping his biggest poker face.
Well, only because I know what happens, and you know, it was
and I'm
just,
going to be disappointed, aren't I? I'm going to be disappointed.
How you wrote that episode?
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. By that mark, I'm looking over at the Skype screen. I should turn on my video. But by that mark, he means it's not at all what happens in the episode. But we'll see. Maybe everybody listening, listen, here's the deal. Everyone listening to this podcast right now, by the way, knows two things. One, exactly how this episode goes down. And two, that they have 24 hours left at StarWarsReport.com/shirts. Get your copy of an incredible design that Matt Rushing did on a t-shirt. High quality printing, direct to garment. None of that sticker crap. It's yours that you can wear at Star Wars Celebration at our celebration dinner. StarWarsReport.com/shirts. I totally lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? I've just totally derailed the show.
We're talking about Rebels.
Let's talk about Disneyland. All right.
Yeah.
So we actually have... So they released this actual official video of construction. I was surprised that they even did that. It's sort of a conceptual. It shows the beginning of construction, and they fill it in with CGI.
Why does that surprise you? For me, I thought that was a no-brainer. You've been seeing more and more of that guerrilla style. Hey, there's a parking lot over here, and I can walk up really high and take pictures and release it, and I'm getting a scoop. I mean, it makes sense for them to be like, out-scoop the scoop.
You all right there, Bruce?
Yes.
Bruce's laptop just started chirping at us. No.
Some of these links that go straight to video. It drives me crazy.
I hate that so much. Well, that Hollywood Reporter, if I click on this, I bet it's going to come into the mix.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's do a little experiment. Opening up the Hollywood Reporter. Disneyland reveals Star Wars land features, including full-sized AT-AT walkers. It's pretty sweet. And there it is. There it is.
Yep.
This article is what really got me excited. I mean, they're like, we're also creating two incredibly new signature attractions. One will let guests take control of the Millennium Falcon on a customized secret mission.
Because Bob Iger hasn't said that 5,000 times.
Millennium Falcon on a customized secret mission. Say what? Yes, as well as an epic adventure that puts guests in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. I don't really care so much about the second one. I'm like, I want to fly the Falcon.
I've been thinking about the Disney cruises
for that reason alone.
Because, you know, if you fly the Falcon, that means you're getting in the cockpit there. I don't want it to be where I'm feeling like I'm Han Solo, but then they have one of those bars that come down, like on the roller coaster or something, you know? No, I want it to feel like the real thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like... No, I don't have it up. I was about to cue Falcons Fly with Destiny because if there's a time to play it. But no, all right. So I'm actually going to jump to an email we got literally this morning from Terrence. He said, hey, guys, longtime listener here. Enjoyed your podcast for the last few years. Ooh, a long time. We've had of all the incredible – seriously, guys, everyone who's been emailing, this is incredible. I love that we're getting regular email every week. And this is not like in the – usually this happens like in the lead up to Rogue One or something like that. Randomly in the middle of March, we have more of you guys interacting. I love it. So thanks for your email, Terrence, first of all. He says, quote, I live near Disneyland, California. We go to the park perhaps once a month or so with our annual passes. Terrence, I hate you, and I'm super jealous. He goes on to say, construction of Star Wars Land is well underway and can clearly be seen from the parking structure. Mark, I know you're just mentioning that. For the first time, you can see something clearly. I feel like that's a song. I can see clearly now. All right, I'll stop.
The walkers are there.
You can see something clearly identify as Star Wars. I've taken a wide shot and a more narrow shot. You can clearly see a couple of AT-ATs. Walkers on the ridge. Boom. Blim,
how does he know they're AT-ATs and not AT-ACTS?
AT-ACTS.
Mm-hmm.
AT-ACTS. Act 2. Act 2.
The A-T-A-C-T.
Can we make that the pronunciation of act two. They just have to be now I'm thinking of Attack of the Clones.
Although, you know, I'm with you, Bruce. Like, I think one should be an ATATC or ACT or however you want to do it. And you could have, like, the band come out on it.
Like a live performance.
Oh, that would be cool.
Terrence goes on to say, if Disney holds to tradition, at some point they're going to try and block what exactly you can see, such as with some tall trees or something like that, to so they don't want to spoil the surprise. It should be probably pretty well blocked pretty soon. Wouldn't be surprised if we start to see it, some like barriers of some type. But he did send us some pictures via email. Bruce, if you want to sneak around, we can take a look-see. There it is. Oh, beautiful shots, Terrence. Bravo, sir. All right, nice. I'm going to tilt my laptop around so Bruce can get a gander at this crap. Check this out, man. That looks great.
Oh, yeah, the construction.
You got like a high power. It's like a DSLR crap or something. I feel like even looking there, if one thing's going to be the Falcon. All right, I'm not going to look at it too long. Again, I don't want to spoil the surprise. he takes a bigger close-up of the AT-AT or KTK construction. They're definitely AT-AT. You can already kind of tell. They have the full frames here.
Okay, so we're going to be at Walt Disney World for Celebration.
We are?
During that time.
Oh, yeah, because there's like a special event, right?
Yeah, Galactic Nights, Friday night.
I feel like something's happening this Friday night.
Well, there's dinner. We're going to eat dinner at Cafe Tutu Tango for the listeners.
Oh, yes. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. We have like a nice room.
Oh, like a whole section of the restaurant specifically reserved for Star Wars Report listeners?
Closed off from the general public, just for us and our listeners.
Wait, with like a special show, giveaways, prizes, and a recognition of a lot of the podcasters on the network who will be there in person?
Absolutely.
Yes!
What? Bruce, that's...
With
it's
one
like you
chair
were...
of honor empty for me?
Yeah, I know. Every time we do this, Mark, I feel bad.
We need to get that cardboard cutout ordered of Mark.
I know, we do. Also, by the way, we have our own section of the restaurant.
We
which
do.
Means we have like seven... six or seven seats left. Literally, we can go no more. So, like, I'm willing. Those are open. So, we have our last couple. So, I'll just say it. If you email me Riley@StarWarsReport.com, just literally do that and say, "Hey, I'm going." If you're going to Celebration, like, get in those last couple seats. Otherwise, we're at like 55 people ish.
Right. Because
and you should also send them an email saying, "I want one of those really cool festive new Star Wars Report T-shirts, so you guys all have matching ensemble."
That would look good. It'd be like a family reunion if we're all wearing those shirts.
Yeah, but what
you know, will say this as a guy that's missed the last few celebrations, okay? You get Riley and Bethany and even Bruce all in a location with those shirts, and you get in the photo, you will probably find yourself on the Star Wars Report website's banner.
Yeah, because that's true.
And, you know, it's like looks so snazzy that we're always like, you know,
it's on the slideshow on the front page from Celebration.
We'll just put it right in there because it looks good.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Be part of the family. Yeah, you already are because you're patrons.
StarWarsReport.com.
This is, but we love y'all.
/shirts. All right.
So dinner's at 5 to 6. Gives everybody enough time to then head over to Disney World if they want to do Galactic Nights.
Yep. We even convinced Aaron Goins, who's like a hardcore Disney guy. He's like, "Guys, I'm not missing any of the Disney thing." Even the curmudgeon, Aaron Goins.
From Star Wars Bookworms
will be there. Star Wars Bookworms will be represented. Nathan's going to be there, Mark, repping Beyond the Films. It's going to be a great time. Mm-hmm.
And I'll be repping literary checks.
Yeah, you're going to be there with your literary check shirt.
Is this the same type of Star Wars nights that's going on, like what's going on over in Paris, or is this a different type of event?
No, it's different.
Yeah, Disneyland Paris.
What are the differences then?
Yeah, so let me jump to because you put it in our notes. It's very good. Let me actually pull it up here for detail just to make sure we don't miss anything because Disneyland Paris.
This is more of like what they've done at Disneyland.
Sorry, where is this?
This is in Paris at Disneyland
Paris.
Well,
never mind.
Paris.
Yeah, forget that. So Celebration. Let's get into Celebration talk. All right.
Wait. What do you mean forget that?
We're dumb Americans. We don't care about what happens in the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, but people like to hear dumb Americans talk about Paris.
I almost did like some French stereotype sounds on this microphone and then thought better of it.
No, okay, why so it's that? It's May 5th and 6th, or is it, the 5th and 6th of May, at Disneyland Paris at the Walt Disney Studios Park, and they're going to do the Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain where they convert Space Mountain into the Star Wars theme like they did in California. Oh.
Back up. Why the 5th and 6th? Why not the 4th?
I was going to say, wait a second.
Because
do they have something more planned on that day? Like,
well, there's a whole, like, they're doing all kinds of entertainment and stuff, but the reason they're doing the 5th and 6th is they're doing advanced tickets to ride Hyperspace Mountain because it's officially opening on the 7th.
Ooh.
So you have to go to the Disneyland Paris website and get your ticket so have an exclusive ride on it before it opens on the 7th.
Those freaking marketing geniuses.
Oh, interesting. Nice.
They know how to get...
They just may do something on May the 4th.
Just May. You know what, guys? You know what that sound means? It's time for Celebration Station! I couldn't even tell it was you, Bruce. All right, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk
it's
some
a
Star Wars
celebration.
I love the delay there. The Skype delay made it that much better, Mark. So we are kind of doing our informal, ongoing guide to that semi-annual. I guess we can say semi-annual now that they announced the next one's 2019. Whatever. Star Wars Celebration. We got a couple updates. First, of course, guest announcements. Anthony Daniels and Riz Ahmed are attending Celebration. And more importantly, Anthony Daniels is doing his ever popular one man show. Bruce, did you see it in Anaheim?
I did not. No.
Oh, you gotta do it.
I've watched it on YouTube though.
Oh, you have? his sly British sense of humor just gets me. I love it.
I met him in London for the last celebration.
Nice.
Yeah. So my daughter Amanda wanted to get his autograph, so we got in line, and it wasn't a real long line, so we didn't have to wait a long time, but we got up there and she was so starstruck she couldn't speak, and he just looks at her and he's talking to her and he finally says, "Can you talk?" And she just nodded her head yes, and she was like, "Yeah." yeah. That was about it.
Oh, man. Nice. I'm doing that thing where I'm Googling our own interview, because that's one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done, is getting him on the Star Wars Report podcast. And I also featured some audio from his show on, this was from, I think it was Celebration 6. Yeah. That we got him on. And listen, he has a reputation amongst a lot of people I know of being a bit British. And by that I mean being a little short sometimes. Yeah. Like, I know.
I'm offended.
No, he definitely has that reputation. But man, as far as like showmanship and like for our interview, as long as like we were performing, like there was like an angst of like a pressure to perform it during the interview. I'm used to when we interview people, most people are pretty nervous. I will never forget. Oh my goodness. Should I tell the story? Yeah, why not? Amy Allen. I ran into her at Celebrations Anaheim. And we were collecting I did a bunch of video interviews for the comic. Unfortunately, they never saw the light of day. And JC was great. He sent me the audio of them to put on the podcast, and I have no idea where I put it. It's probably long gone. Anyway, whatever. One person that we almost interviewed was Amy Allen, who I definitely talked to. Was it Amy? Now I'm questioning myself. Who's the actress who played Shaak Ti? Because Amy Allen was, of course, Ayla Secura. Man, this is super nerdy trivia. Somebody's yelling at their iPod right now. whatever. We'll just say Amy Allen, since my memory is not failing me, is failing me. But I set up the interview one day, saying, "Hey, we're gonna swing through and do a bunch of like little 5-minute things." So I was gonna like say, "Hey, can I come by tomorrow between this hour, and we'll do a little 5-minute thing? I'll have a camera crew with me." And of course, everybody's like, "Yeah, yeah, great, great, good, fantastic." Now, the next day, I show up. And, like, we're literally about to start, and I'm just doing my thing. I'm putting on the nice, friendly, super outgoing, happy Riley. And it takes her a few seconds. She's like, "You know, I don't want to do it. Would it be okay if I didn't?" And I paused. I looked back at her, and I said, "Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, I understand. Whatever you're comfortable." I paused. I looked up, and I said,
"Do it."
I said, "It would be absolutely devastating to me personally if you didn't." I know, and I'm terrible.
Oh my God.
I know. I was putting on. I learned.
Riley,
I'm going to blame Bethany.
That right there tells how you were still in the grips of your youth. You totally pulled the guilt card like a little kid. I love that.
I'm going to blame Bethany. That is totally a Bethany move, by the way. I would never have done that if it weren't
That's
for her bad influence.
That's how you got me to be on this show. Was. Guilt me into being producer.
Wait, I would be absolute Bruce. I'd be devastated if you didn't.
So was this Orly
Shoshan? Yes, that was
okay.
Her.
So I just looked that up.
Hey, if you ever listen. Here's the deal.
Oh, I love it.
All right, here's the deal. No, seriously, listen, everybody. Really important thing that I want. If you're listening to this, stop. If you're driving, pull aside, because this is gonna blow your mind. You have to do this. I will feel terrible now, kid.
Wait, give him a second to park on the side of the shoulder,
all right,
man.
Will do. All right. You ready? All right. Okay, go to StarWarsReport.com/shirts and no, okay, no.
Well, I'm doing that.
No, more importantly, the next time you go to any event where Orly Shoshan is, without any context, without anything, I want you to walk up to her table and say, "Orly, I absolutely loved you on the Star Wars Report. You were great."
And she'll go, "What?
Your Star Wars Report interview changed my life."
And then just move on. Don't stick around, because she's going to have questions, because that interview never happened. But she won't even remember it. But the next time I come and say, "Hey, Star Wars Report, you want to do an interview?" She's going to remember all of you amazing people who walk up to her table and be like, it was amazing. It was... no, don't do that. Hey, here's a sample of Anthony Daniels at Celebration. I'm just going to skip to a random point of the podcast and see if it works. He said hesitantly. All right, here we go. Let's take.
Say, speaking of podcast, I have just.
Wow, that was a long intro. All right, let me skip past my own.
Well organized and orchestrated by the producers of it. That's
yes.
Lucasfilm and the Reed Group, I think. And the other thing is, all of the fans have been just so nice and welcoming and kind of well-behaved and thrilled to be here and full of praise and just make you feel very good, you know.
Good.
Well,
good.
They were certainly thrilled to see you at the panel. That's what I brought to, because a lot of our listeners are very familiar with your work as C-3PO and even outside.
Listen
that,
to my voice
really
shaking.
Been able to do Star Wars in concert now, and now I had heard about your show that you did at C-3PO.
I'm so nervous right here.
But I couldn't miss this one, and I certainly couldn't. Where did the genesis of kind of taking your history with Star Wars, but really reinventing what's a typical convention panel of? So what was it like playing C-3PO?
I didn't even...
What was that question?
so many caveats. I used a lot of $10 words. I said genesis. I said, like, amalgamate. What did I say? Something like that? Yeah. So if you want to hear a nervous Riley from like 5 years ago, go listen to Star Wars Report episode 63. Get that. Ooh. More than 200 episodes ago. You can catch episode 63, our interview with Anthony Daniels.
I hope we do another one in Orlando. See if you can handle that more professionally.
That guy's never going to. No, but Orly Shoshan, I'm holding out hopes, ladies and gentlemen.
I just looked up her picture, so I definitely will be tracking her down.
All right. Let's.
You know, that makes me want to share my celebration story, which I've already shared.
Uh-oh.
But in the guise of, if you're going to go up to somebody at celebration and say something like that, Star Wars Report related, Pablo Hidalgo, go up to him and tell him that you hear he doesn't like camping.
Oh, yeah. I remember you just saying that.
I wonder, do you think he'd remember that conversation? How long was that conversation, Mark?
That was in Anaheim, right?
You know, this was at Anaheim. This was after the podcast listener meetup. I was heading home. I was heading to where I was staying that week at the hotel, and he was at the crosswalk with Henry Gilroy, and they were talking about camping, and Pablo was going on about how much he hates camping, and I was just like, "Well, you're doing it wrong. You got to go to caves, man. That's where the cave. That's where camping's at."
Listen, Mark, stop right there. I just want to point out to everybody listening to this podcast, if you've listened for any number of time, when Mark disappears around the February time frame every year to go camping with the Scouts, and again like around Halloween, you know this guy. So I just want you to imagine super EU fan extraordinaire, also Boy Scout leader extraordinaire, here of all people talking about camping, Pablo Hidalgo. And I just want you to think about that. And you can't possibly not think. Mark, how did you even survive? Did you faint? I bet you fainted at first.
I was just giddy at the fact that they were there and they were crossing the same direction. And then I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about camping. I'm like, this is like a sign. Like, this is like, I look up. I'm like, this is it, right, Lord? Like, I'm going to get hit by a car any minute. Like, this is my cue. I've got to get on this on-ramp conversation. I'm sorry, Pablo, but I'm barging it. You got to go camping in the caves, man. You're doing it wrong.
It's like Henry and Pablo are sitting there having a great conversation. And it's just like Mark just like slowly stands up over Pablo's left shoulder. He's like, hey, camping. So you like camping?
He's like, you can come camping with me.
His hotel. And I continued on with Henry for a while. I mean, me and Henry had a nice long conversation about camping.
So this is what,
stuff. I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, this
I
is
I want to go camping with you, Mark. I want to I've never camped in a cave. So why don't Riley and I come to Oregon and we're going to camp with you, and we'll get Henry and Pablo to come with us. The five of us will go camping.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, if you come this May, we're going to Derrick Cave in Central Oregon.
There
it's
you
a,
go.
It's the place I've taken my
he
son.
He already has an itinerary.
He, knows.
Awesome. He already has
Let's
an itinerary.
Do it. We can make it a reality show.
I've watched that.
I got actually. Another one in August.
You added me to... All right, I'm calling you out. You added me to a Fans of Pablo Hidalgo Facebook.
I did, and
what
Mark, too.
What the heck is this group?
I don't know, but I got invited to it, and then
so
I started inviting
So you just invited me?
There were 16 people in there, then I invited my friends, and it got up to 32.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's down to 31 because I left
Wars
it.
Fun fact number 215, Pablo hates camping.
All right. You know what, that's actually, you know, that's about as far as...
I'm going to start a Facebook group of Pablo Hates Camping.
I will join that group,
well,
sir.
There is that new, the new sad Pablo meme where they've got the picture of him in the window. Yeah. I love it, man. I love it.
Good for you. all right, Funko exclusives. They're doing the lottery system. They did this at New York Comic Con.
You're going to do
yay
this.
Or nay?
Oh, no, I'm the first... Guys, you know, I've talked a lot of crap about collecting. But when it comes to Funko,
yeah, you're a little more sensitive on
I
this
will be
one,
I will be first in line
is what I would say if I were crazy and wanted to actually get in line for that lottery.
Yeah, but
ticket.
You don't have to now, because if you get the ticket, you get you. There's a specific time you have to go.
You know
and
what?
Get
it's still stress. It's still stress. Don't.
You don't have to
it.
Worry
don't
about
do it.
Standing
no, don't even.
In line.
Don't,
so wait,
it's whatever,
you're not
it's
even winning
go.
A ticket into the thing. You're just winning a ticket to get a ticket to get in.
Kind of.
What?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the lottery works, but they did this at New York Comic Con, and it's like the entire booth was empty the whole time because no one could stay in line, and I just saw angry people milling about wishing that they could buy Funkos.
No, they're going to tell you when to come by.
How exclusive are we talking here? I mean,
whatever.
I know that there are different variants of figures
just
and stuff
stop.
Like that,
just,
but are there like,
just stop.
We're only making
just,
50 of them.
It's just a Shock T
just
Funko.
Whatever. Whatever. Just know. Stop. It's. Do I? Should I go on my... Should I do my religious collecting rant? I have notes now. I'm this into it.
I have notes. I'm breaking this down one.
It's listen. People are entertained by your lack of enthusiasm of collecting.
When did I become such a curmudgeon about Star Wars?
Okay, so if we've been getting such feedback, I legitimately want to know from somebody out there who thinks that this lottery is a good idea. I mean, I just don't understand the concept of a lottery. Like, this feels like one of the radio...
Listen.
You're going to be eligible to be a contestant. Like, wait, you're not even winning anything? You're just... You're winning a chance
Mark,
to be
you've
a
already,
contestant?
Listen. You've already expended way more energy than you should on this. Here's the deal. Here's the ticket to... The idea of understanding the lottery system for getting the exclusive Funko Pop, the best solution, is not... Don't abstain.
I think about
you.
Like, when I was in high
abstain.
School and stuff, it was all about the magic card, you know, like you wanted to get that one card that was like one in every box kind of thing. Now, if Funko's doing something like that, where they're only, say, putting out literally like 50 of this comic, or, you know, this certain exclusive to Celebration Orlando, that's you're only going to see these 50 here, then I could see some value in this contest. Because not everyone's going to get one. I mean, my daughter got a sweater at Anaheim. It was one of the Stormtrooper ones that fold up into a pillow. And she actually happens to have number 75 out of like 250, I think is what it was. Uh-huh. And it was technically an exclusive, but it wasn't like, you know, hey, you better come and get your exclusive thing. It was just like exclusive, kind of like art t-shirts. That you
did you wait in line? Mark, did you wait in line?
You know, my wife got that while I was running the Force United booth for Star Wars Report when we were doing our section.
Listen, I know Katie well enough.
She wouldn't have waited long.
I was going to say, I know Katie well enough to know she did not wait in line long. And that's the way to do it, folks. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. You know,
Funko have a contest where you can win, actually? You know,
prizes. No, we're stopping. Stop. Make it stop. Make it stop.
This means you
don't
have to go
Funko.
Real early in the morning and line up. They just go at a specific time and you get your
sure,
one exclusive.
Fine.
But the problem I think that they have is they're not showing you what that is. Like, what is it?
They don't tell you what the freaking exclusive is?
I want to know what the exclusive is.
You're right. And none of these links seem to be. I'm going on the first one right now.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
Mark,
let's
Bruce,
take over the show and look.
Well, you could first of all hunt it down if you want. Also, I'm saving the last segment of the show. We're gonna do Boba's Bounty here in a second, and then after that, I'm doing a full on dead serious Preacher Riley.
Oh god!
Like you guys, I'm dead serious.
Complete with accent.
Should I do the Southern Preacher?
No, I want Hawaiian. We got Moana this weekend. I want Moana.
Make way! I'm very excited about that. So Celebration, you know, and then as far as, like, Celebration, this is something that came up, I think, on social media somewhere. Like, how do you follow along if you're not going? Like, that's the question, because a lot of people can't make it.
Oh, I know.
How do you follow along?
You, subscribe to follow the Star Wars Report online.
It's true. That's just
Bruce,
true.
You probably should take that down a notch. That was a little too much energy.
And then you just go you to just, Twitter.
And you see
what's going on at Celebration.
It's just like
Star Wars Report tweets it out.
Like, yeah, we'll
like
tweet
guys,
it. Yeah.
Guys, huh? I know you're not going to Celebration, man.
You sound exactly like Sheldon Norton.
You can go to this place on Twitter It's at the Star Wars Report, and like they've got everything you need, man. They've got tweets, they got pictures, they got videos, they got Bethany, they got Riley. They'll have Bruce. They'll have Aaron Goins. They'll probably have Teresa Delgado. They'll have it all. I mean, you name it. They're going to have Nathan P. Butler this year, guys. And you just follow them on Twitter. That's all you got to do. Okay. All right.
Well said, sir. No, actually, in all seriousness,
wait, can I? I'm real quick. We keep naming all these other hosts from other shows.
Yeah.
But Michael Morris from Cloud City Casino will also be at dinner.
Well, and he's the true savior of the Star Wars Report. Like, yeah. No, he's
the our Baron Administrator, you know.
He is our Baron Administrator.
He's our sole listener.
At this point in the show, probably. Email, actually, no, text me, Michael, if you're still listening or if you've given up. That's like my personal test. The Michael Morris test of how far people got into the show.
And you were saying Preacher.
Yeah, I'll get to that after Bo's about it. I've got to reset a little bit. We've taken it down too much. We've taken it down far too much, which means, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Boba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Each week, we like to talk about something we've done, considered, thought about, pontificated, experienced, smelled, eaten, touched, or otherwise considered the meaning of.
Consumed.
In the world of Star Wars. And that's Boba's Bounty. We're on the hunt. We're on the hunt for our everyday Star Wars experiences. You know what? I'll start us off. I have the big one this week, I feel like. It's like the biggest one I'll ever have. Yeah, so I've
been waiting for years for this.
As discussed ad nauseum on last week's program, I did actually go visit Nathan Peabody. He is real. He is real. I have the selfie to prove it on my Instagram.
You in the flesh met the Count of Continuities?
I did. Great dude. Great guy. Had an absolute blast. I just literally got off work Friday. Was that yesterday? That was yesterday.
Yes, that was yesterday.
It's literally yesterday. Got off work, headed over to a very quaint, awesome house. Like, seriously. It was really cool. Got there. He had an absolutely incredible video collection in the main living room. He showed me his office where he has this incredible... It's where he shoots his videos for the YouTube channel. And then he took me to his PlayStation setup, and I played a little bit of one of the Batman Arkham games.
Nice.
And then played the VR level on Battlefront.
Nice.
It was so much fun. In fact, I got a text. Speaking of Michael Morris, hang on. I got a text from him earlier today, and I totally forgot about it until right now.
I'm gonna do a recording from Nate's house.
Dude, we should. It's a great setup too.
We should,
It'd be perfect.
That'd be fun.
Well, we should do like because one of the original proposals of doing the Thursday shows was taking time to do more in person long form conversations.
You should go to his house and do Thursday show.
I absolutely should. So.
Did you hear that, Nate? Tweet us at StarWarsReport.com.
No, Nate, you can text me. It's all right. You don't have to. Although, speaking of text from other from hosts of Cloud City Casino, Michael Morris just invited me earlier today on Cloud City Casino to talk about the VR experience. So I feel like...
Nice.
All right, first of all, Michael, if you're listening, yes, although I should probably just text back. Which I have not yet. And then second of all, Michael, yes, which means right here I will just say it's incredible. But if you want the play-by-play and also Riley's brand new St. Patrick's Day themed battle cry that was unveiled, you're going to have to listen to Cloud City Casino. Subscribe on iTunes and wherever you get your fine podcasts. Cloud City Casino, Star Wars Gaming Talk. For Star Wars fans,
I have to tune in. I've never heard that show.
No, it's all right. What else was I saying? Boba's Bounty.
What launched this meetup? I mean, what made you decide?
It's really
that
embarrassing.
Now
it's really
was the
embarrassing.
Critical time.
That's a very good question, Mark. I want to hear the answer to that.
I mean, like... you guys lived closer before he moved into this new house.
I know it's so true.
You we doubled literally... down the distance and time.
Somebody Google the distance between Fayetteville, Georgia, and Fairburn, Georgia.
You guys were 15 literally... minutes away before, literally. And now you guys are like 36 now.
Not that Mark has done this.
Me and Nate have talked about this on blooper reels.
Yeah, no. It was because it's one of those things where, like, I know you categorize people, right? Like, because I meet someone in person at a convention, and then if they're in the area, I'm like, oh, we have to. So I would always think of, like, oh, yeah, it'd be great to hang out with Nathan sometime. 5 years go by, and they're like, we've literally never been at the same events. We know each other really well. Nathan was the first guy to come on board with, well, it's the Wampa's Lair guys, and then Nathan and you for Beyond the Films.
That's more than 5 years ago, though.
Is it really?
Yes, because I started listening to your show when I started the company I'm at now, and I've been there 7 years.
When we started kicking the idea for Beyond the Films, it was in 2011, and we launched 2012. Yeah.
Just
because that was when I kept trying to shove more books down your throat, because I was like, we gotta talk about books more.
that's true. I do remember that. Mark was like, hey man, can we talk about a book, please? Can we talk about a book? And I'm like, I haven't read it. I don't have time.
There's this book out. It's called Darth Plagueis, and it is really awesome.
So yeah, Nathan's the man. Absolutely great, great setup. Really great to hang out with him, and we're going to get a chance to hang out more. And I think you're right, Bruce. We got to, for the Thursday show today, because it's ungodly late now. We gotta that be the Thursday show this week, or maybe next week, depending on our schedules. So
from Fayetteville to Fairburn,
you just
Georgia,
googled it. You did
19 miles.
That's so embarrassing. Oh, me. All right. Bubba's Bounty. Mark, what's yours?
Well, the last one we did got cut out because of an audio issue, so I got that one as well as the one for today, which was my wife had surprised me with the Sabine Wren 6-inch figure, which had glorious details of the spray paint on Sabine's gloves, on her boots and stuff. Absolute awesome figure, great posability. I'm all about those points of articulation.
Yes.
But this episode, my main focus was I just finished Aftermath, which was Bruce's last one that got cut out.
And you.
And what I found so interesting about that book was one of the things, Chuck Wendig brought a lot of things into canon, touched on things from Legends and New Lights. But one of the things that I thought was very interesting was there were these people called the Alkalites of Beyond in one of the interludes. And the interludes were kind of like their own short stories in a sense. These Alkalites of the Beyond being contacted by Sith spirits.
Hang on, Mark. Is this what you call Beyond the Films listeners? Because you should.
Yes.
The Alkalites of the Beyond.
I know. I've thought about that before, and I was just like, oh, that is just too perfect. They were being contacted by dark spirits, and it made me think about the fact that Rebels, you know, we went to Dathomir, we saw Kanan get possessed, and we saw Sabine get possessed, even though there were limits to what the Night Sisters' spirits could do.
I mean, it was
We've
pretty good
We've seen the Clone Wars has had angles of Sith spirits with Bane and stuff, but those were attached to holocrons, so there were always
to back up your point, Mark, we also had the Clone Wars with Savage Opress and his sort of like Sithly plastic surgery, his Sithly enhancements.
Yeah, so it was one of those things, like when I got that, I was like, whoa, Chuck, let's slow it down a minute here. I thought that was a big taboo. I thought that was one of the things we stepped away from Legends for. We're like, you know, we don't play with that dark Force ghosts, like that's not a. I was kind of actually surprised that they let that in. I'm like, interesting,
nice,
very interesting.
So, which is the best Aftermath book?
Second one for me.
Second one,
I would have to say the second one.
Bruce,
I agree. Yeah. The second one.
Mm. Yeah. All right, excellent. Well, that I'll start with that one then. Bruce, your Boba's Bounty.
Well, just it's kind of two things. One to add to what Mark was saying. So he and I reviewed Empire's End on the 602 Club podcast with Matt Rushing, the guy who designed the shirt. So that's
Available where? I'm sorry,
it's on the Trek FM network. So Trek.
No, not the shirt, not the podcast.
The shirt. Who cares about the shirt? So if you go to the Trek.fm/store, you can buy items there too. But if you go to StarWarsReport.com/shirts, not. It's plural.
Plural. With the yes.
Shirts. So yeah, 602 Club episode 122.
Check that out.
But also, I caught up on Rebels, including Twin Suns.
As did I, not including Twin Suns, which is, I feel like, if you're up for it, I don't know how tired Bruce is, but I kind of want to watch it.
We'll see.
But you've already seen it.
We'll see. But I have to say, my new favorite character right now is AP5.
I actually do really like AP5. I'm not even going to lie.
I like AP5 better than the Puffer Pig right now.
Oh, that's saying something, ladies and gentlemen. That's some progression right there.
That is. That says a lot right there, actually. For me, what I found interesting about the whole Stanton angle was that they had Stanton playing the voice of Kenobi. I know he's done it before, but I thought it was interesting that they went that direction.
Yeah, no, James Earl Taylor ain't doing the voice this time around. He did a vlog about it and was none too salty. I feel kind of bad.
Really?
It's the way this business works. It just depends on who they want to go for, what they want they want the sound to be like. But they're going full on. Stevens has an incredible Alec Guinness. Like I remember playing Empire at War, and he just did a handful of lines for like General Kenobi, and his Alec Guinness is spot.
Well, I was thinking about James, and you know, they used him for the hologram version of Kenobi in Rebels, and I thought about, well, you know, it makes sense, I guess, if you're using Stanton to make Kenobi sound older.
Yeah.
Whereas it's kind of harder for a voice actor. I feel like it's harder for a voice actor to age just their voice when they're not physically aging. Whereas if you shift actors and have them both trying to make the same sound, you have what feels more to the ear like a natural aging progression. I don't know. I was trying to rationalize it like that because I love Stanton, and yet I was just like, that really threw me off. I was like, wait, what? And then I saw that he had done a Kenobi before, and so I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And he did a killer job of Kenobi in Battlefront 2.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's really good. I mean, but as if we need to say that. Everybody listening to this knows.
So, you know, Alec Guinness was about 61 when they shot A New Hope.
Okay.
Steven Stanton right now is 55.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So he's getting close to Obi-Wan age.
Don't be afraid. I don't believe that. That is one charming, handsome gentleman for that age. I would not to dwell on the point too long, but man, that's...
What are you saying? People in their 50s are over the hill?
Well, I'm just... not if they're Stephen Stanton, because he's doing something right, man. Not to dwell on that point too long.
I need to talk to him about that.
We need to get him back on.
Why not? Let's.
We had the AP5
camping with us,
dude. With him,
you could even let him have my empty chair at the 2-2 Tango.
He could imitate Mark at the 2-2 Tango.
I don't know if they were possibly. It depends. I don't know if they'll be able to make it out or not. If they do, man, there's some people we need to send invites to.
Actually, I'm going to imitate Mark at 2-2 Tango since we sound alike.
This is true.
I don't see this at all.
Even my wife said that. I was like, okay, I got to go back and listen. I was listening. I'm like,
you know,
okay,
I'm probably
that's
too
what
biased.
I'd sound like if I lived in Georgia. All right.
I'm way too biased because I know both of you far too well, but I don't think you sound at all the same. But yeah, it just depends on who you're hearing. Wow. So here's the deal. It's gotten like super late and we're over an hour for this week's show, so we're going to have to wrap up here. We have some incredible feedback, and Riley is not going to preach exactly. We have a ton of emails. We got a great one from Kenny, a great one from Ron, and a great one from Nate. We have one from Nate. Here we go. How's this, ladies and gentlemen? This is how the pros do it. Nate tells the story in great detail of how his mom got to go see Rogue One. That's right, got to go see Rogue One, thinking it was the sequel to The Force Awakens all the way through until the end of the movie. And we're going to tell you about... I know, Mark just died. We're going to tell you all about that and tell you that full story along with more of your emails either on the Thursday show, which is actually 50-50. I'll just be straight up honest. I'll be on spring break Thursday through the end of the week. So we'll either get together and do a feedback episode, or that'll be for next week as well. So on that note, you're just going to have to tune in and hear about that craziness. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to wrap up this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Bruce, you're getting the true radio experience here. We've got headphones plugged in. Boy, I'll tell you what, this little mobile mixer I take to your house here, it does the job. Like, it's not too bad. We get Mark, you can hear him, I can hear him, we got the audio feed. Good times to be had. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, here's what you need to go do. Take a random guess. StarWarsReport.com/shirts.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, you know, actually, I didn't mention, another cool way to order shirts is if you become a new patron at the $15 level, which is actually a couple bucks cheaper than ordering one. You get sent a shirt, that shirt. We will literally just mail it. In fact, our featured patron from last week, Jonathan Heil, we're going to send him a shirt, but it's going to be the new one. So that's another good way if you want to also do a recurring pledge and do that. That's a great way to do it. So, hey, StarWarsReport.com/shirts and, of course, Patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Big thank you to everybody who's supporting us there. We look forward to seeing so many of you at the Cafe 22 Tango. Again, those last couple seats are open. Riley@StarWarsReport.com. And, yeah, 24 hours. Get those shirt orders in because I'm literally putting in that order Tuesday. So make it happen. Hey, email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com like we did Ron, Nate, and so many others. Appreciate y'all's emails. Keep them coming. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Oh, man. What else are we missing, Bruce? I feel like, of course, iTunes. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Great way to support the program. Get the word out. Leave us a review and tell us about how much you love Penn State. Like Wayfarer did.
Yeah.
It definitely makes Bruce excited. And also stay tuned for when I do a Luminous Beings segment on who, not what. What Star Wars is really about. And here's a spoiler alert. It ain't collecting. All right. I won't be mean about it. I'm just saying there's a legitimate perspective to add, maybe. We'll talk about that later. That'll be next time. Again, yeah, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, Twitter/StarWarsReport, Facebook/StarWarsReport. Want to follow us and follow our personal accounts. It's @IllogicalRogue2 for Mark, @Admiral_Rex for Mr. Bruce on Twitter, and then I'm @TheRileyGuy, and that's on Twitter and pretty much all social media. So long, folks. Until next time, may the Force be with you, and many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Whoa. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. And Bruce, you know what would be kind of cool?
Yes, but what else?
If we could find out about the podcast stage.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
That would be great, right? Like, it's not like we have like very specific high profile people that are willing to be in the show that we need to hear the time slot. Oh man. Not to bring that into the show. All right.
So like, have you ever noticed, man, when the Falcons fly with Destiny,
this is freaking Sheldon
Norton. The chord beat of the guitar, it's like a falcon's wings flying, man. Up and down.
I'm stopping the recording. I'm stopped. This must end. It's got to end. Next time, folks.